The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is Need to Know here on TKR. Kip Kiefer with you, still in Las Vegas. I know it sounds like I've relocated, but I promise you I am coming back to hometown Birmingham soon, home base, I should say. And but it's been a glorious few days here. These last couple of days, from a family standpoint, have conducted a lot of business, went to the Ultimate Convention on Global Gaming, and also just had great family time. The most valuable, of course, with my three-year-old grandson, who is just a unbelievable little guy, already a great sports fan, such a communicator. He is definitely a Kiefer. There is no two ways about it. And it has been a joyride here in Las Vegas. I'm going to talk about one aspect of that week, one of the experiences that we were able to partake in. And I think you will be interested in kind of the context of that discussion. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. I didn't want to be redundant or just add to the breaking constant news in the Middle East, but I thought in need to know terms, it was something that we certainly should address. There was a big development late night last night that you may or may not be aware of. The problem, the biggest problem with the Israeli retaliation of the week ago aggression by the Hamas invasion into their country and taking of hostages and the senseless murder of about 1,300 Israelis has been very direct. And as expected, the Israelis do not take much from anybody, and they are very well equipped militarily to respond with tremendous force, and that is exactly what they're doing. But from a standpoint of just civil behavior, before a full-scale military invasion into the Gaza Strip was going to be taken forward, the Israelis issued a warning for Palestinian civilians to get out of town, get away from there, because it was going to be heavy action, and they were trying to do the humanitarian thing. And people that are not directly combatants, although the situation is such that region of the world, of course, is highly polarized with different adversarial, that's the nice word for it, views on territorial and philosophical things, that the Israelis taking the step before initiating this big invasion was a good thing. The problem was that all the surrounding countries, Lebanon, Egypt, other places, basically had completely sealed their borders and were not letting refugees out because they didn't want them to come into their country. Pretty much the way of the world, except for our country, which our wide open borders continue to foster hundreds of thousands of people just about every month coming into our country. But in the rest of the world, Egypt in particular, which is the best bailout area for people trying to get out of the Gaza Strip, those borders were closed overnight. They reached an accord. Our American diplomacy forces going to Egypt and meeting with the president, have this one particular crossway to get out of there into Egypt and get out of harm's way opened up. Now, it might only be temporary, and it may be put on a situation where there might be limits to how many people can cross, but at least there's some place for these people to go and hopefully get out of harm's way, because this is only going to be more and more severe. If you listened to the show last week, I talked about, there are certainly consequences for actions. And although the administration is absolutely positively denying any connection, it's a little strange that Hamas, who is the controlling force in the government for the Palestinian state, they are 100% supported militarily and trained by the Iranian forces, who are the number one sponsor of terrorism, and state in their mission that they are for the complete elimination of Israel, which means all the people in Israel. Hamas is just kind of their stooge to directly engage the Israeli people. And they are behind everything that's happening there. That's undeniable. Anybody with a functioning brain knows where the military expertise, the weaponry, the training, how to use these, even paratroopers going into Israel. That is 100% an Iranian production. And if you recall, we just did a hostage swipe, or a prisoner swipe, I should say, where five Americans were released from Iran and five Iranians were turned back over to their country. Oh, and by the way, we also released a frozen $6 billion in Iranian assets that had been pretty much singled out and closed off to them to, once again, penalize them in a sanctioned situation for their continuing development of nuclear weapon, and also for their very active participation in most of the terrorist activity around the world. So anyone who doesn't make that connection is just not thinking clearly, unless you're the Biden administration, who says there's no connection whatsoever to this. That $6 billion is still sitting there. It has not been accessed. It is not available to them for anything except for humanitarian purposes. And right away, when that statement was made, the Iranian president, the Ayatollah, came out and said, that's our money and we will spend it any way we choose. The United States is not going to dictate, how we allocate our funding. So anyway, there's some real disagreement, and the Biden administration is spinning furiously to try and destroy any connection between that deal and the $6 billion that was turned over to the Iranians. And now this sudden aggression, which is the worst demonstration of Hamas terrorism in many, many years. They have lobbed missiles across the border for many years, and the Israelis retaliate in kind. But this is the first full-scale military operation and blatant murder. The most Israelis and Jews murdered in one situation since the Holocaust. So the response is very severe, and the humanitarian crisis it creates is certainly a big concern. So that's some thoughts on what's happening in the Middle East. It's a situation that we can all just cross our fingers and pray that will be resolved without tremendous destruction. It's a very strange situation there. The lines are not drawn very clearly. That there are states like Saudi Arabia who are just bitter enemies of Iran, and a lot of the other countries that are really starting to progress and even reestablish or established for the first time diplomatic relations with Israel. And the situation is quite unacceptable for Iran and the Palestinian state. So they are waging war, and you cannot like their chances. I don't know what's going to happen there, but after many years and under the Trump administration, some peaceful years and some progressive years in terms of relationships, the hot spot in the world right now clearly is on the Gaza Strip. So we will continue to monitor developments there and hopefully all pray for the best resolution possible. I wanted to share with you one of the experiences that we had this week in Las Vegas. There's this extraordinary brand new entertainment complex. I don't know what else to call it. It's like nothing else that's ever been unveiled. So there really is not a classification. I can't call it an arena or an entertainment venue because it's something much different. This is the Las Vegas Sphere. It has opened up just a couple of weeks ago. There is a series of concerts by Bono and U2. They played their third one over the weekend. In fact, our suite at the Venetian, we have a view of the outside of the Sphere, and it's quite extraordinary. It is the world's largest spherical shaped structure. So it's basically a giant oval, and almost appears like a perfect circle from the outside. The odd thing is, we went last Thursday for a tour and a what's called a it's basically a movie. It's about an hour long. It's called Postcards from the Earth. But it was really to demonstrate the capabilities of the systems within this. I almost call it a theater. Okay, it's a theater. It's an arena. It's a 18,000 seat venue. But it's not like, and again, I want to make sure that you're not thinking of this conventionally like some kind of ultra modern arena. This is something completely different. This is a giant it's a round structure. And the outside of it is all material that's high resolution screening. So millions and millions of LED lights constantly light this thing up at night from the outside with all kinds of interesting scenes, nature scenes. They had these like jellyfish that were floating across the exterior of the building, and then of course U2 announcements and different promotional things. But it goes on pretty much all night, and it's pretty extraordinary to view. But the interesting thing about the experience on Thursday, because I've been chronicling every step of the trip here in Las Vegas, we've done everything from going to Monday Night Football and seeing the Raiders. We went on Tuesday night to the Vegas Golden Knights' first game of the season, where they raised the Stanley Cup championship banner. And in true Las Vegas fashion, the way they unveiled that gigantic, I mean, it was a lot bigger than I even imagined it would be, but they brought out this giant mock slot machine and pulled the lever, and it made this great effect and the noises and the dings and when the jackpot hit and all of the noise that you would expect from that, the bells and whistles and sirens, all of a sudden from the very bottom of this fake slot machine, this gigantic slot machine with the Stanley Cup sitting right next to it on a big table at center ice, the very slow release coming out from the bottom, the jackpot was the giant championship banner, Vegas Golden Knights 2023 Stanley Cup champions. And it was immediately hooked. Once it came out of that machine, it was hooked to some cables and very slowly raised to the rafters while the crowd went crazy very emotional, very awesome. This was a franchise that started just 6 years ago, and the first game was only 4 days after the horrible shooting here in Las Vegas, where the gunman from the Mandalay Bay fired on a country music concert, killing 58 people and wounding hundreds more. On opening night, the only other rafter up in the sky that has been raised, the only other banner was the retired number 58 to depict how many people lost their lives on that terrible night here in Las Vegas. Both of my sons, Case was working at the event, and Clay was there as a fan back on that opening game 6 years ago. Both have described that experience as absolutely extraordinary as first responders and just heroes from that night who helped get people out of harm's way and help people that had been wounded. And just the city just in one giant step trying to heal from something just inconceivable in the greatest party town, the greatest entertainment place to come in the world. It's indescribable how much is going on here every single day. And just giving you those first couple examples, but this was full circle for my sons and for so many people here in Vegas to see that banner go up to the rafters and realize how significant this six-year run has been for this team, which was the first professional franchise to play here. Now, of course, they have the Raiders, who we saw on Monday night, defeat the Green Bay Packers, despite the fact that 50% of the crowd was Green Bay fans, because they travel very well, and every opposing fan looks at the schedule, and if it's a Las Vegas game, it becomes a must visit, because getting to come to Vegas and seeing your team, what better daily double is there than that? So anyway, the game was wonderful. Wednesday night, I am truly evolved, ladies and gentlemen. I accompanied my son and we went to game two of the WNBA finals. That's right, women's basketball. I was there to watch the Las Vegas Aces defeat the New York Liberty, and the crowd was raucous and upbeat and excited. This is a great team, the defending champion, although they lost yesterday in game three in New York, but they're still up 2-1 in the series. So we checked out the Las Vegas Aces on Wednesday. On Thursday night, we went to the Sphere, as I mentioned. I'll complete that thought in just a moment. Friday night, staying here at the Venetian. Unbelievable. My favorite musician and songwriter, Jackson Brown, was here at the Venetian Theater, which is a very intimate place to see him, because usually he plays a lot bigger rooms. This was an extraordinary opportunity for me on my birthday this last Friday to see Jackson Brown, simply by going down the elevator, turning, walking about 20 steps, and being right at the theater. I mean, you just can't, it just doesn't get any better than that. Saturday, watched a lot of college football, of course, and then went to the Golden Knights game right down on the glass. Some people were asking my grandson, you know, how do you get such good seats? And he's my grandpa got them. And they said, well, your grandpa's spoiling you. I said, will he be our grandpa? Well, I'm all booked up right now, but I'll get back to those folks. But It was a fantastic night. He absolutely loved it. Guys getting slammed into the glass right in front of us. The quick action, he was totally enthralled. It was the best grandpa moment imaginable. And yesterday we just kind of chilled and watched football. I've got some big business meetings later today here as a result of the end of the big gaming convention I've been attending. But back to the Sphere after I gave you the itinerary for the past week. We go into the Sphere. It is absolutely amazing. There's all kinds of technical things to look at as you walk around the corridors. There's these amazing light shows and different displays of all this interactive, almost artwork in LED lighting. And then you go into the actual structure of the arena setup. And at first it looked, you know, kind of generic. It was just a gigantic screen with seats, you know, set up. That was the stage, of course, that U2 played on. But it didn't look, it looked kind of like just a big, gigantic movie theater until the show started. And Postcards from the Earth was visually, and I don't fail to disclose, I have some visual impairment that has been life altering, but this experience in 18K, that, you know, we're watching 4 and 5K now on our televisions and marveling at that technology, that incorporates about 9 million pixels of light. In 18K, it's about 190 million pixels of light. The clarity is unbelievable. The sound system is remarkable. And very early in the presentation, without even realizing it, the entire round structure above you and to the sides of you is transformed because the images leave the screen and expand. And all of a sudden, it's above you, it's around you, it's beside you. Your seat rocks and rumbles depending on what is being shown. And at one point, depicting a storm on the earth, you can feel the wind blowing right in your face. It is just a remarkable sensory overload experience. Everybody needs to come out and check out the Sphere. Now, the one downside in Postcards from the Earth, the premise, of course, they can't resist. They have to pontificate and preach to us all the time. But the visuals of the formation of life on Earth and some of the earliest attempts to identify species that may have emerged from the waters, life would not be denied on a planet that had so much to offer. And of course, as they trailed through the prehistoric period and the first appearance of the evolution of humans, the narrative subtly changed to basically a theme of human beings have reached too far and just can't be satisfied with not knowing all of the secrets that make Earth remarkable. They went into the kind of didactic tactic of, you know, starting to say that humans have ruined the party here on the most perfect environment in the universe for life to flourish. And of course, by the end of the time, they're talking about, you know, the structures are too big, the ambition is too great, the curiosity is over the top. We have, and they're showing like missile launches and gigantic structures. And basically they're saying that, you know, we're smothering the Earth. Human beings are responsible for Earth being damaged and she needs to heal. And they start, they get to the point where they're saying, you know, life eventually disappears on Earth as the planet is trying to heal herself. But again, the whole premise of sitting in a $2 billion structure with this remarkable technology, which is completely because of the ingenuity of people and that just unquenchable thirst to keep developing more and more remarkable things. The same thing you're marveling at is what this film is condemning, that human beings just need to be content and be satisfied with where we are and not continue to reach higher and aspire for more. And it to me, the hypocrisy is kind of remarkable because this achievement, and don't get me wrong, the messaging of the film was not beat you over the head. It was more subtle. But listening to the verbiage, that's definitely the message that humans are screwing it all up. And we've got to stop doing that. I reject that. I think that the quest for humans to be the maximum they can possibly achieve is a magnificent thing. And I think the Earth is more equipped than a lot of people concede with 4.5 billion years of experience under her belt. I think she makes her own adjustments. I don't think human beings are any kind of insurmountable challenge for the earth going forward. So anyway, that's some of the experiences we had here. The Sphere, I highly recommend it. The messaging did nothing to take away from what was an extraordinary experience. And as I mentioned, the only way to describe it was total sensory overload. It was just remarkable. I loved every minute of it. It's been a great week here. Can't wait to get back and get in the swing of things. I missed our television show last week, the starting lineup. I had all this business and activities out here. Tony Curry and the legend handled it beautifully from what I understand. And I'll really look forward to being back on this Saturday, 10:30 a.m. with the great Tony Curry on ABC 3340. So don't miss that. And Kiefer and Curry will be back with another edition that we will put together tomorrow. I know a lot of you really like that show because Tony and I just kind of cut it loose. So anyway, with all that said, it is always such a pleasure to come to all of you. Keep those prayers flowing that our world will, the conflict with humans, I think the earth can handle herself. I'm more concerned right now with the conflict amongst human beings, and hopefully we can find a way to interact in some kind of civil and, dare I say, peaceful manner going forward. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's what you need to know. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I will look forward to being with you again on Kiefer and Curry and the starting lineup this week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.